Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 37. Yai swadeha srito natma martyo vid krimi basmavat teinam atma sat kritva slagayanti yasatama. Yai, by sannyasis who, swadeha, own body, smrita, consider, anatma, different from the soul, martya, subjected to death, vit, becoming stool, krimi, worms, basmavat, or ashes, te, such persons, enam, this body, atmasat kritva, again identifying with the self, slagayanti, glorify is very important, he, indeed, asatama, the greatest rascals. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sannyasis, who can first consider that the body is subject to death, when it will be transformed into stool, worm, or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self, are to be considered the greatest rascals. Purport. Well, if you're going to be a rascal, you might as well be the greatest of all the rascals. Purport. A sannyasi is one who has clearly understood through advancement in knowledge that Brahman, he, the person himself, is the soul, not the body. One who has this understanding may take sannyas, where he is situated in the aham brahmasmi position. Brahma bhuta prasanatma nishoshiti nakangshiti. Such a person who no longer laments or hankers to maintain his body and who can accept all living entities as spiritual souls can then enter the devotional service to the Lord. One does not enter the devotional service to the Lord but artificially considers himself Brahman or Narayan, not perfectly understanding that the soul and the body are different, one certainly falls down. Patant inadha. Such a person again gives importance to the body. There are many sannyasis in India who stress the importance of the body. Some of them give special importance to the body of the poor man, accepting him as Daridra Narayana, as if Narayana had a material body. Many other sannyasis stress the importance of the social position of the body as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra. Such sannyasis are considered the greatest rascals, asatama, asatamaha. They are shameless because they have not yet understood the difference between the body and the soul, and instead have accepted the body of a brahmana to be a brahmana. Brahmanism, brahmanya, consists of knowledge of Brahman. But actually the body of a brahmana is not Brahman. Similarly, the body is neither rich nor poor. If the body of a poor man were Daridra and Narayan, this would mean that the body of a rich man, on the contrary, must be Dhani Narayan. Therefore, sannyasis who do not know the meaning of Narayan, those who regard the body as Brahman, or as Narayan, are described here as asatamaha, the most abominable rascals. Following the Bali concept of life, Such sannyasis make various programs to serve the body. They conduct farcical missions consisting of so-called religious activities meant to mislead all of human society. These sannyasis have been described herein as apatrapa and asatama, shameless and fallen from spiritual life. Yai swadeha smrito natma martyovid krima basmavat tainam asat apmasat kritva slagayanti yi sat tamaha. Sannyasis who first consider that the body is subject to death, when it will be transformed into stool, worms, or ashes, but who also again give importance to the body and glorify it as a self, we consider the greatest rascals. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Deinosminyata dehe kamaram yovanam jara tatahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. That the embodied soul is continuously passing in a body which is going to from boyhood to youth to old age. So similarly, the soul will enter into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls aren't bewildered by such changes. So that's fundamental principle of spiritual life, that our body, we're different from the body. Now, anyone who doesn't understand that is considered to be on the level of cow or an ass. So, eva gokara. Isyatma. Buddhi. Kundape. Tritaduke. Swadhi kala tradishu. Boma ejeti. Yatir the Buddhe. Sale nakarhi chish. Ganesh vabageshu. Sa eva gokara. Yatma buddhi. Kundape. Tritaduke. That this body is being functions according to the three energies, namely vata, pitta, and kapha. The energies of Krishna, whether it be earth or water or the subtle mind, whatever it is, they're being governed by these modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance, and the goodness, passion, ignorance are conducting the material energy through, for instance, these three dhatus. Actually, they're called doshas. Now, the soul has nothing to do with all this because no matter what situation we're under, nothing's changing for us. We're always just the observer and the experiencer. We're not really doing anything here. But under false ego, the soul becomes convinced that he should dovetail his desires with that of the material energy, and therefore he becomes entangled by illusion. But one who's gone through the process, as explained yesterday, of cultivating knowledge under the direction of a spiritual master, beginning from Gurukul, Kamara Acharat Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatam Iha, Durlabham Manusha Janma, Tarapya Dhruvam Arthadam. Prahlad Maharaj has advised that from the very beginning of life, one should practice Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma. Unfortunately, most of us, from the beginning of life, we practice something else. Probably gives the example. If you go to a famous violin company where they teach you violin, and they ask you, one of the first things they ask you is, how long have you been studying the violin? You say, oh, I'm a master, practicing master violin. I've been studying for at least 10 years. And then they charge you twice as much as they charge anyone else. Because they know whatever you've learned was probably wrong. And therefore they have to spend so much time trying to retrain you, help you forget all the other things that you incorrectly learn. Similarly, we're very proud. People are proud. Even the devotees are proud. Aspiring devotees. Devotees aren't proud. Aspiring devotees. As I mentioned, I heard at the end of one lecture, one devotee was asking Prabhupada, Is it true that devotees, if they fall down, they may have to see hell? And then Prabhupada's answer was, devotees don't fall down. So, you say, oh, I'm a devotee, I never fall. Yeah, right. We're already fallen. We're in that category. We can't fall down because we're already fallen. There's no place to go. But as far as what Prabhupada was specifically saying, an actual devotee who's actually devoted to Krishna, he can't fall down. Because he's on the platform of Brahman, and he's experiencing, as Maharaj Rishabhdev said, Nanyan deho deha bhajam riloke, kastan karman arhate vidbhudyanye, tapo dibhyam putraka yena sattvam, shudyat tasma brahma sokhyam tvanantam. Maharaj Rishabhdev said, don't act like a dog and a hog. Why dog and hog? Because both of them are addicted to sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification. A hog never follows a diet. We never heard of a hog going on a diet. And restricting his eating. He never checks the package before he eats the ingredients. Matter of fact, he couldn't care less if it's in a package or not. He doesn't care who manufactured it. He's indiscriminate. He loves stool. He doesn't care who passes it, what they ate. He doesn't say, well, I'm a vegetarian stool eater. I only eat the stool of vegetarians. Oh, he's indiscriminate. He sees every stool equally. Different varieties. And similarly, the dog will eat anything, practically speaking. If it's hungry, he'll eat stool. Of course, nowadays the dogs are homegrown, home-trained. They're home dogs. So they're very particular. But if you put it out in the street, it'll eat any garbage that you can find it. As a matter of fact, in India, at least, the dogs are not so well-trained. That here in the West, if a dog comes up to you and licks your nose, you think, oh, he loves me. Oh, doggy, doggy. Oh, so sweet. But in India, everyone knows that if you're lying on the ground and a dog comes and licks your nose, he's trying to find out, it's not that he loves you, he wants to find out whether you're alive or not. And if you're not, then he can bite off your nose and eat it. So it's not good to play dead with your doggy. He may revert to his original nature. Especially if he's hungry. So, dogs, hogs, camels, asses, whatever. Human beings, if they don't understand the difference between themselves and their body, then they're simply interested in the same thing any animal's interested in. Namely, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. There's nothing else to do in this material world. What else is there to do? The other things are just subtle, like you play chess or something, just a subtle way of learning how to defend. But there are manifestations of that ignorance. For instance, believing that this body is oneself, or going to a holy place of pilgrimage to take a bath, and not even be aware that there's holy places, holy people there who can enlighten one with spiritual knowledge. Therefore, there's no way one will actually get transcendental knowledge. If you go to a place where it's being offered, and you don't even recognize what's being offered there. If you go to a place where there are a gold mine and there's gold lying all around, but you don't know what gold is or what its value is, you simply go there on a tour and you, oh, what is all this nice yellow stuff? You know, what is it? You know, glitters or whatever. But anyhow, it's too heavy to take home with me. Because you have no idea what the value of gold is, what you can get for the gold, and therefore not knowing that knowledge is as good as not, well, you'll never get the gold because you don't know what its value is. Even if it's right before you, even if it's being offered, you can just pick it up and take it home as a souvenir. If you don't know the value of what it is, then you'll never take advantage of it. Similarly, if one has no idea what the value of human life is, one has no idea that the value of human life is an opportunity to get out of the material concept of life, then even one goes to a place where learned persons are discussing the process of getting out of material existence, one will absolutely take no advantage of it whatsoever. Or if one thinks that this land that I'm in is worshipable, because we're in Slovenia, we're Slovenes, we're small, but we're beautiful. We can't compare, we're completely dependent upon all the other big countries that surrounded us in the world, etc. But still, somehow or another, we're special because we're not so aggressive and we're so, you know, this, well, everyone has some reason to think themselves to be very important. If you're a big dog, you think I'm special because I'm a big dog. And if you're a little dog, you think I'm special because I'm a little dog. But everyone thinks themselves very special. But no one in this material world in the Bali concept of life is special. Everyone is in the same position, from Brahma down to the meanest ant. They're all in the same illusion, if they're not understanding their spiritual identity and position. Therefore, those who pose themselves as leaders but actually don't know who they are, they don't know that they're a spiritual being, and they're trying to lead others, their prophet says, or Krishna says here, asatama, they're the greatest rascals. And Prabhupada used to point that out to these so-called teachers. As I've said before, when Prabhupada was talking to one professor at one university who was a professor of Hinduism, and the professor asked Prabhupada, can you please tell me a definition of Hinduism? So Prabhupada turned to his PhD follower, Swarup Damodar, and said, Swarup Damodar, this man is teaching Hinduism at a university, and he doesn't know what Hinduism is, what it is. So what do you call that, Swarup Damodar? So he said, he's a cheater, Prabhupada, he's a cheater. What else are they? They must be cheaters. Just like now they have this thing about, you know, something being safe and effective. Safe and effective. How can something be safe and effective? How can you claim it's safe and effective when you don't even know if it's safe and effective? You haven't even sent it through the trial to find out if it's safe and effective, and yet you're claiming that it's safe and effective. So that's cheating. You're supposed to send it through a trial to find out if it's safe and effective, but even before the trial is done, you're declaring it safe and effective. Safe and effective for what? Therefore, cheating is one of the four principal problems of the conditioned soul. Namely, the conditioned soul has imperfect senses, so we think we know what's going on, but what we, as Krishna says, that sadvanarupa sarvasha sharad bhavati bharata sharoma yo purusho yo stratasa eva saha, that under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. So we're walking around, and we actually have a faith. Everyone has faith. Because the way we perceive things, the way our experience, our whole history has evolved us in a certain kind of faith. So if we acted in the mode of ignorance, we'll have faith in the mode of ignorance. If we acted in the mode of passion, our faith will be in the mode of passion. If we acted in the mode of goodness to some extent, then we'll have some faith in the mode of goodness. And if we've acted spiritually, transcendentally, we'll develop spiritual faith. And according to that faith, then we'll naturally will act, and our faith will continuously evolve, either spiritually or material, in the modes of nature. So everyone has this faith, everyone has these beliefs, and everyone's going to work according to those faith and beliefs, unless one gets an opportunity to hear from a person who has more knowledge than we have. Now, everyone has the opportunity to hear. As a matter of fact, everyone has their Mahajan. Mahajan yena katasapanta. So everyone's going to choose a Mahajan and then follow them and get a certain experience. Prabhupada said, if you want to find out, if you want to meet Narada Muni, then find out where his footprints are and then follow them, and eventually you'll find Narada Muni. So whoever we follow the footprints of, Itavidu swarthikatim hi vishnu dirashya ye bahir artamanina andaya tandiro pigyamanas te pisha tantra uru dami bada. So everyone is going to choose some mahajan to follow, some leader, and follow them, and one will get the result. It's inevitable. That's how we, of course, the human form of life was gifted to us after going through the 8 million other species of life, but if we've had more than one birth as a human being, it's because whoever we followed, then we get a next birth according to the activities that we perform. So someone who's actually misled, who has imperfect senses, who makes mistakes, who has a tendency to cheat, and is subject to illusion, we follow them, then we'll get ourselves into difficulty. But if they take the position of a leader, like the Shudra addresses the king that Pariksha Maharaj chastised, then they're the greatest cheaters. Because they don't know, but they're claiming that they know, and therefore misleading others. They themselves are misled, but especially it says here the sannyasis, who are supposed to be the leaders of society, the preachers, if they're preaching the wrong thing, not only they'll go to hell, but they're bringing so many people to hell with them. So that's the most unfortunate. If one doesn't have knowledge, that's not so bad. Then at least one is humble enough, he may acquire knowledge. But if one has no knowledge or negative knowledge, one thinks what's to be done is not to be done, and what's not to be done they think there's to be done, and then the wreck people, they're blind, and they direct other blind people, then they're getting the karma for misdirecting people, and the people are getting the karma for being misdirected. And therefore, there's no possibility, if you choose the wrong leader, of making any meaningful progress, either material or spiritual. Therefore, dharmasya tattvam nihitam gohayam, ahajna yena katasapanda. That all our study, tarka apratishta, all our arguments, our discussions, shutayavibina, and all our study of the scriptures, and all our observing of and trying to understand saintly people, it has to culminate in dharmasya tattvam nihitam gohayam. Choosing a leader and then following them, who actually is self-realized. Now, the leaders we're following, either the rishis or the scriptures that we read, we may not understand them, or when we see saintly persons, but they must all direct us to an actual self-realized person. We have to know what self-realized is. And here it says self-realized begins at least to understand that the self is not the body. And that there's a Paramatma in our heart. That's further advancement. Who's directing us? And that we should take advantage of his external representatives, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and consult with Paramatma within ourselves to understand what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is saying. We're never detached or apart from Super Soul, Paramatma. He's our guide. But we have to consult with him, otherwise we'll be misdirected by the illusory energy. And ultimately that the goal is Bhagavan. Our goal is not Danam, Janam, Sundarim, Kaivitam, Jagadisha, Kamaye, Janmini, Janmishvare. It's Bhavata Bhakti Ahaitu Ki Twayi. It's pure devotional service to Krishna. Then we can make progress, and when we point out, as Prabhupada used to point out, So he used to call people rascals. Because if we do that, we'll get into a fight. People are not going to readily accept ourselves as rascals, themselves as rascals, and did Prabhupada tell everyone they're a rascal. Prabhupada especially, he told sometimes the Indians themselves, because they were a little cultured, and they could accept the fact that they were rascals. Because they had some previous training where they understood what was actually to be done, what was not to be done, and probably within their heart they felt a little bad about they were doing the wrong thing. But others, if we tell them they're rascals, it won't actually be very productive. Because we ourselves are rascals. The pot calling the kettle black. In other words, if you yourself are in a certain situation, it's better off not to tell everyone else. Criticize others. Or it says, what is that? People who live in glass houses should not throw stones. Do they have anything like that here? In other words, if you're living in a glass house, it's not good to pick up a stone and throw it at people. They may throw a stone back and your house may break. So similarly, until we come to the position of being able to discern properly how to productively criticize, we shouldn't be very liberally criticizing everyone, because we might hit the wrong spot, get ourselves into trouble. In any case, we should recognize who's a rascal, even if we don't directly point it out, so we know who to follow and who not to follow, and who to follow and what degree to follow them. It's not that anyone is purely a rascal and everything they're doing is wrong, but we should see what they're doing right and appreciate that, and avoid what they're doing wrong. And this is all to different degrees. Unless one is a completely pure devotee, and even then, we may misunderstand what they're doing. The word says that one may not understand the activities of pure devotee, and to imitate them would not be very productive. One should anukarnam and anusharanam. We should follow their footsteps and instructions that are applicable to us, but not imitate them. But discrimination has to be there. And the discrimination begins, as it says here, that if one doesn't understand they're not their body, they're not really worthy of very much attention. No matter what position they take in this material world. Because if they don't have the basic knowledge, then everything else that's built on top of it will be mistaken also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
We have our Avadutarai Prabhu.
Yes.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Knowledge that I am the soul comes already in goodness. Is that the level of Aham Brahmasmi?
Goodness is not the level of Mahan Brahmasmi. Brahmabhuta is the level of Aham Brahmasmi. Goodness is also conditioning. Goodness in the material world means goodness contaminated by ignorance and passion. Spiritual goodness is Shuddha Sattva. That's beyond material goodness. And that's obtained by usually through pure devotional service, especially in this age.
So we have next one. Srila Prabhupada says, one can take sannyas when one is on Brahma-Bhuta level. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita says, one is qualified for sannyas on the level of Ruchi, when one has strong greed for Radha Krishna. What are your thoughts on this?
If you're on the level of prema, it's even better. No contradiction. If one, at least minimum, one has to understand we're not this body and engage in devotional service, and then shortly one will come to the stage of ruchi. Then one can effectively preach Krishna consciousness. Because devotional service is not just mechanically following a process. It's actually coming to the platform of transcendental affection for Krishna and for his devotees. So then one can effectively preach. Or as Prabhupada said that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport, that the Acharya in the true sense of the term was authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So surely a person, a sannyasi who's preaching, and who's in this realm of sannyas, if he's on the level of Brahmabhuta, then he has some qualification. He won't fall down. That means he's constantly engaged in pure devotional service. And if he's on the level of Ruchi, then he's much more unlikely to fall down because of the happiness from Ruchi. Everything becomes tasteful. Therefore, sense gratification becomes distasteful. On the beginning platform of Brahmabhuta, there's some happiness, but it may not be sufficient to keep one on that platform perpetually. Usually it does, but it may not. One has still not come to the Uttama platform. Rarely does anyone fall down from Brahmabhuta, but sometimes it happens. But from Ruchi, that's very, very unlikely.
And then, like a comment, no question. It seems to me that in the beginning of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas even after three or four years of practice. Nowadays, we don't have any more that phenomenon.
Thank Krishna. Prabhupada said, in the beginning I did for working. So he accepted disciples very easily, he gave sannyas easily. Especially devotees anxious to take sannyas. Usually they got better prasadam, so it was at least to that extent. But he needed preachers. He needed devotees to go around and give instructions. So, and he was hoping that some of them would be successful, that's all. He generally didn't ask devotees to take sannyas, but they became anxious to do it for one reason or another. And if they were unsuccessful, then at least they had some run of preaching and doing service. And Krishna will give them another opportunity in the future. Anything else? Kala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.